Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of our Velocity Sellers podcast. I am here live with two of our experts at the National Hardware Show. We're out here in Las Vegas. I'm here with James and Steph, two familiar faces. And we're just going to today be talking about what we're seeing, you know, what problems people are facing that we're seeing out here, and really just type of vendors we're talking to. So thank you both for coming out here and doing the show with me live again. I know our last one was a big success with you and Eric, so definitely had to get one while we're here at the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me with Pete.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Do you mind just introducing yourselves if anyone's first episode of our podcast they're watching?
Yep, I'm James D. I'm the Director of Brand Management at Velocity Sellers. I've been with the agency for a little over 3 years now. And we love helping brands grow on Amazon and see if we can help them out.
I'm Stephanie Morrison. I'm Senior Market Analyst and Director of Sales at Velocity Sellers. I've been with the company since 2020, but been working on Amazon with my own brands and various clients since 2013. Looking forward to being on the show.
They have, folks. Again, two experts that if you've watched our episodes before, they know a lot of stuff about this beast we call Amazon. So James, what are we seeing here on the floor? Who are we seeing? Like anyone? What kind of problems are we seeing people face in the Amazon world?
I see some very innovative products right now. Holds true from the last show that we were at. Some really cool stuff to meet brands. I see a lot of independent brands that manage their own Amazon. And what we're finding is since we're an agency, we're up to date on the most cutting edge of Amazon. We see a lot of different problems, a lot of different issues, and a lot of different benefits and tools that Amazon has that have launched. And just by talking to some of them, we ask them, are you doing B2B? Are you doing brand-tailored promotions? Are you doing video posts? Are you doing... And the consensus is no, right? So I think as an independent, you're managing your Amazon on your own. I think there's a certain point that you could take it to a certain level, but then you have to look at some professionals like an agency like ours to really take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing the same thing, Stephanie?
Yeah, and I'm also seeing a lot of manufacturers here who are allowing 3Ps to manage their brand on Amazon and seeing a lot of issues with that, right? Not seeing a proper branding, proper representation on Amazon because they're kind of allowing 3Ps that maybe sell, you know, hundreds of products and really aren't focused on growing that individual brand. Another thing I've seen a lot of today is a lot of 3P seller issues. So people, you know, having issues with their product being side door and then people selling under MAP on Amazon and things like that. So a lot of that going on around here as well.
Kind of like you said, most people that I see that I feel like we're meeting here are their main business is in Amazon. Their main businesses is manufacturing or white labeling or anything like that. So Amazon, unfortunately, isn't their main focus when it probably could be their main revenue driver if they put a little more effort into it and make use of all the tools that are out there. I totally agree. Every time I tell people, like, oh, are you doing B2B? Have you heard about the new price increases? They're like, the what? The who? The how? So it's definitely interesting to see, you know, just how much, obviously, Amazon's a beast. And there's still stuff that we're learning every day, you know, even us being experts. But that just goes to show you that you should be putting your trust and your Amazon business maybe into the hands of these experts if it gets to be too much on your end.
So, just to kind of piggyback off what Stephanie's been seeing, it's almost like all the different shows that we've been to so far, it's the same story. It's the same, I don't have a seller account or my product's on Amazon, but I have new control.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that is... A massive issue. You have to take control of the plan. The brand messaging is super important right now. There's so many different products and different messaging that you don't control. And I think that's a huge issue.
Well, yeah, and a lot of brands think because they're only B2B that they don't care about Amazon because they don't want to go D2C. But you'd be surprised how many people I talked with today that say, you know, you should still manage your brand on Amazon so that your 3Ps sell better, so that they fill more POs, right? Yeah. So it's important to focus on Amazon, even if you're not, like, focusing on a D2C approach.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I see a lot of people that are saying, I don't want to deal with Amazon. I just let my distributors do with it. You know, they run the account. They do all this stuff. Why is that not the best way to go? Why should, aside from the maybe some of the obvious reasons, why should a brand want to take control of their brand voice and their brand image on Amazon?
Well, I'll jump in on that. The Amazon, even if you're not focusing on it as a major channel, is still a landing page for all of your other efforts. Like if you guys are selling on any other channel, I talked to guys today that were only on Wayfair and they didn't want to sell on Amazon because they didn't want to break that relationship with Wayfair. But I was telling them, like, you know how many people probably see you on Wayfair or Bed Bath & Beyond and then go, I have Prime, and they go to Amazon, and then they see your competitor and they buy that. So you're actually losing sales by not focusing on Amazon.
Yeah, and I see a lot of old imagery, right? You might have updated your brand, crisper photos, and you're doing well on your website or your packaging, but out there in the electronic, out there in the other worlds, your consumers are not seeing that, right? And that's super scary. Or you're leaving it to somebody that does not, they're writing their own listings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so their titles could be, it could be just totally the wrong message, right? Or even, you know, oh, behold, it could be counterfeit products, which you'd have no idea, right?
Another thing I see a lot is bad reviews. So you get a 3P that's doing a horrible job and, you know, like maybe somebody gets a bad product and then that person doesn't care, doesn't do a return, and then pretty soon you have bad reviews. So then by the time you do try to take your brand back, you've got 3 stars and you've got a huge uphill battle instead of just taking control from the beginning and taking care of your customers the way that you would want your brand's customers to be taken care of.
Yeah, super good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's crucial, right? If you make the decision. Okay, so let me get this straight. You spent the time and had an epiphany of a design of a product, right? To solve a certain solution. Or, you know, this is something that somebody has to have. So you invest a lot of money into tooling and then trademarking and then, you know, packaging and then ordering through MOQs on manufacturing. And then you start selling it to distributors. You're like, yay. And then you just let anybody represent it on Amazon, the biggest marketplace in the world. It's crazy. You've got to take control over your brand. Have to. Number one thing that people should be doing.
I've definitely thrown out the statistic of, like, I think it's like 60% of online searches these days start, maybe it's more than that, start on Amazon. When people find a product in store, first thing they do, like you say, was on one of the episodes, they go on Amazon and say, can I find this for cheaper? You know, what's it look like? What are the reviews on it? Because in store, you can't do that. You know, like in most of these guys are selling in like Lowe's and Home Depot. You can't go into Home Depot and click on a product and say, what are the reviews? What do other people think? You know, so it's important to, like you said, have your Amazon managed. If there are bad reviews, you know, trying to work to getting better ones by improving your bullet points, telling the customer, this is what you're getting.
Yeah.
This is how you should use it. This is exactly the way that this product is going to fit into your life.
Well, it's an assisted sale mechanism, right? Stephanie hit it on the nose on the review standpoint. So all that work that you've done on distribution, right? So you're in the big box retail, you're in Walmart, you're in Lowe's, you're in, you know, outdoor, you know, you're everywhere. But like you said, when savvy shoppers, what they're going to tell you is they're going to look at a product, scan the UPC, see what the Amazon review says.
Yep. And I did it myself. I do, too.
Absolutely. So now you're letting third parties, and you're not controlling the message. You're like, oh, is this the same product? 3.2 stars. Even though your product might be a 4.5 or a 5-star, you're going to lose that purchase in the store. So why not have at least some sort of presence and control the brand? Control the messaging, you're going to confer higher sales in your existing distribution model.
Right. Exactly. You improve the sales for your 3Ps, even if, like, again, that you're not focusing on selling D2C on Amazon.
Right.
So
we've also seen a lot of products that are perfect for BOPIS or Amazon today that have a lot of distribution warehouses themselves, or they're in places like we see True Value stores here, even places like Ace Hardware. How should a product that is fit for that go about maybe getting that set up, or how do they identify them if they are a good fit for that?
Well, this goes right back to if they're not on Amazon yet, or they have third-party representing them. In order to be part of those programs, Amazon Today and BOPIS and some other cool programs, they have to have a seller account. They have to be on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get all these benefits of having on Amazon Today, getting a product delivered within 3 hours, basically controlling the buy box at that point.
Or increasing foot traffic by buy online, pick up in store.
Yes, the BOPIS right then. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So you have to get on Amazon. That's the plain and simple thing. Whether you at least to control your brand and have representation.
I've seen a lot of brands that are a little worried about FBA fees because obviously at the hardware show, like some of these products are maybe a little bit heavier, not as, or maybe even bigger and bulkier. With these new inventory fees coming out, what are some ways that these people can either not necessarily avoid this, but what's the best way to be maybe cost effective with some of these products that would be maybe not fit for FBA?
Yeah, it's FBM, right? This is, again, what Stephanie was saying about BOPIS program, right? It's really designed, BOPIS is really designed for some of the oversized type items. Okay, so you can represent the product, represent your brand. Obviously, it's cost prohibited to ship FBA.
Mm.
It's even cost prohibited to ship to a customer, in that couple $100 or whatever. So you can potentially do the BOPIS, which is the buy online, pick up in store. Makes it real efficient, cost effective. But with the new Amazon fees and everything like that, you either do FBM, you know, which is seller fulfilled, ship through your own logistics center, or what you could do is, I believe with some of the global logistics these days, kind of what Amazon's been launching, you could have that shipped straight from your manufacturer. So if you're from in China, especially,
yep,
they are opening potentially open up some new countries soon, but definitely with China. So if you are manufacturing your product in China, it is almost a direct route straight to Amazon. Is probably one of the most effective and cheapest ways to get product into Amazon, from what we're seeing on data right now. But FBM, you know, use a third party API like ShipStation or Shopify, connect it to your existing system, do some test orders, and anybody that orders FBM goes straight into your own warehouse, and they can do the fulfillment, and then it talks right back to Amazon with the order ID or the tracking number, and you're good to go. You could automate Amazon.
Yeah. Completely. Even without FBA.
Yeah.
I know it's especially talking about global logistics. I know a lot of people here are like, well, I manufacture in China, and I use a 3PL, and I don't want to have to use Amazon as well. So Amazon, not to, you know, say to cut out your 3PL, but Amazon could be that with like Amazon Warehouse Distribution. Now with global logistics, there's a lot of tools that you can use, especially if you're a new brand starting out trying to find what works best for you. I mean, Amazon is the biggest shipping dynasty in the world. They have it down pat. They are a shipping business in this sense. So they would be a great way for you to kind of consolidate everything and really maybe even save on your shipping.
Well, people are really going to have to start looking into that. I hear a lot of people say they don't want to get rid of their 3PL and they don't want to use Amazon Global Logistics, even though they are shipping from China. But I hate to say it, we've been doing some case studies, and many of our sellers are seeing 4x fees if you're not using AGL from China. If you're using your own freight forwarder, if you're using your own 3PL, they're seeing 4x the fees as using AGL. AGL is actually giving some really great incentives right now for using their programs. I imagine fees will go up eventually,
right.
But right now they're really making it hard on, you know, sellers that especially ship from China and are going around their systems. They're making it to where you can't be price competitive with people that are using AGL, which is actually kind of a death sentence for your business.
Yeah. So obviously it goes back to affecting everything down the line. You know, the more you foster and court your products, the more you have to charge on Amazon. I know we talked to a lot of people that say, I manufacture this, I can get it for super cheap, but they're going to be the ones winning the buy box, especially if it's the same type of product. Maybe if it's even with their same manufacturer, right? So a lot of ways that you can kind of be, I don't want to say cut out of the competition or cut out of the market, but almost pretty much. Again, especially with these new fees coming, you kind of want to be able to make everything more efficient where you can.
Well, and what's great with AGL is that they have inbound placement fees now and low inventory fees, and you're exempt from all of those if you're using AGL. So I mean, it's kind of a bummer that they're, you know, kind of offering that incentive for people that are shipping from China and not to U.S. sellers. We're not really happy about that, but it is the way it is. I mean, they're making it right now where it's pretty lucrative if you're going to use their system. So.
Yeah. They'll have different incentives, and I'm sure they're looking at, you know, other solutions of other countries to kind of, you know, obviously, you know, the biggest, you know, one of the biggest manufacturers in the world is China.
Yeah.
So why not, you know, take care of that first, and then you're covering about 85% of all
anyway.
Yeah. They are offering AWV for U.S. sellers, uh-huh. So you can use that system and still avoid those fees.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you still have the, you know, the fees to ship into Amazon warehouse and distribution.
Right.
But once you're there, then you do avoid all those crazy inventory fees that they're shipping in. So it's not really, you don't have to be a Chinese-based seller. You can still use Amazon systems if you're, you know, not using that,
right.
That freight forwarding from China.
Right. So, another big issue I've been hearing, especially with a lot of these, maybe that's more established, these bigger brands, is they're on Vendor right now, and they hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They hate it.
Oh, yeah.
And I told them, I said, well, there's a really cool podcast out about switching from vendor to seller. I did a little plug there for our podcast. But, I've been hearing a lot of people saying, I don't want to be on Vendor anymore. And they want to make a switch to 3P on Amazon, and they want to have more control of their brand. So what, just a quickly elevator pitch, like what are some of the other benefits you get from switching from vendor to seller?
I think you get a lot more tools. You get a little bit more brand control, a lot more price control, right? And I think that's super important. And, you know, it's just one of those things. They're both good. However, they're... On the Seller Central side, you just have a lot more widgets and gadgets. It's easier to operate and navigate, I think, anyway. And we see a lot of strategies, especially this past year, 2 years, actually, coming from a 1P to 3P and making that transition. And, again, we specialize in doing those type of things. And there's so many people here that are 1P.
Yeah.
The common questions are, is... Amazon is for some reason they just dropped the price and there's no one on the listing. The year's up, it's trying to renegotiate pricing. They're always trying to get 5, 10, 20% lower. The co-op marketing fees sometimes are super expensive. As a 3P, you have a lot more opportunity to kind of navigate your brand throughout Amazon, which I think is super, super important. But then also, what happens when Amazon doesn't do it anymore, right? They don't buy it anymore. They don't give you a PO anymore.
Yeah.
What happens to you? Then you have to create a seller account.
Yeah.
Then you have to start from scratch. You must start doing it.
So I want to thank you both for coming out to not only just the show, but also sitting and recording the podcast. I hope everybody that watches gains something from this. And yes, thanks for all the tips on, again, from the National Hardware Show. This is Velocity Pete signing off. We'll see you next week.